Father God, we're here, Lord, because you call each one of us to be a vital part of your body. We're not to take a passive approach to our Christianity, but Lord, you want us to shine as lights in a dark place and shine in such a way that our works are seen as glory to God, and then people would turn to him and give him the glory and honor and praise. And Lord, there is a world out there that by and large is lost. And there are people among the group of people that are lost that are seeking, that are just yearning to know about the Savior who came and died for them and loves them and wants to come again and take them to himself. And so, Lord, we just pray today that as we prepare our hearts to partake in this mission trip, or if we're just here, Lord, to learn more information and we're unsure, that you would move on each heart individually, Lord, and that you would make your call clear and your will clear as to whether or not this trip is right. And Lord, and I'm praying that it is for each person, but Lord, what component each individual will play in this trip. So I look forward to the next hour or so together. And Father God, we just ask that the Holy Spirit be with us in a rich way and that the holy angels would attend to us just now. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Pastor Wes said, I'm Pastor Corey Herthel. I pastor in the Detroit area at the Warren Church. I've been there about a year now. And for the last 4 years or so, I have been a volunteer team leader / mission trip coordinator with Quiet Hour Ministries based out in Redlands, California. Are any of you very familiar with Quiet Hour Ministry? Have you heard of this? Okay, good. So most hands go up. That's good. Quiet Hour's emphasis when it comes to doing mission, when that ministry started over 80 years ago, their emphasis was a radio broadcast, and that's why it was called the Quiet Hour, okay? But over time, the ministry has evolved and to what it is today, and what that is a ministry to send God's people out into the mission field and to equip you to do the work of an evangelist. I've heard some people, you know, Pastor Darrell has been on one of the trips with me, and now he's been asked to be a team leader as well. And so he's actually going to be there as my partner and my trainee during this trip. This is going to be his training trip, and then the next trip he goes on after this one will be the one that he leads. And so what's really amazing is the ministry is propped up very heavily upon volunteer workers. Without the volunteers, the ministry would not exist. So I want to thank you all in advance for your interest. It's a big investment. It's an investment not only financially, but it's an investment with your time as well. So I thank you. But you know what? When we invest in the Lord and in His work, as we've heard all week long, He pays us back in big dividends. Amen? And the blessings that you will receive on this trip, and I don't want us to go on a mission trip with the wrong idea, like, what is it in for me? You know, what's in this thing for me? I want us to go in thinking, Lord, what can I do to be a servant and a conduit of your grace to the people that I'm going to interact with? Amen? Amen. However, cause and effect, when we go and do this and we put our hearts in the hands of the Lord and we're willing to be used as instruments for God, there is no doubt that when you come back, your life will be changed in one aspect or another. My first mission trip was back in 2015 with Quiet Hour. And I went to Cuba. That was the first time. And I can remember when I was invited, it was a youth in my church that I was pastoring, said, you know, Pastor, I've signed up for this mission trip with the Quiet Hour Ministry. We're going to Cuba. And I was like, Cuba? Why would you want to go to Cuba? You know, in my mind, all I'd ever heard of growing up was Fidel Castro and communism and all these horrible relations between the U.S. and Cuba. I was like, why do you want to do that? And I was very apprehensive. But I said, you know what? I think the Lord's calling me to do it. And I went on the trip. And my life has not been the same ever since. I've been to Cuba since then about 8 different times, and even on my own dime and my own time, rather than going along with a mission trip, because I've gone back to do some follow-up work with the churches there. And you build relationships with people that will last a lifetime. You'll have people friending you on Facebook and sending you text messages and things, because there will be a genuine connection that will happen over that 10 or 11 days that you spend with them. So how many of you are seasoned, meaning you've been on one or more mission trips? Oh my, okay, so I'm preaching to the choir, amen? There's a few that didn't raise their hands. So anyway, I just want to know from the crowd, What was the nature? Were these Maranatha mission trips or self-appointed mission trips? How many of them were Maranatha? Okay, a good number of those. How many were like a church group or a private setup? Okay, so a few of those too. When you went on this private setup, what was your emphasis? Was it doing preaching? Was it building? What was it?
Surgery.
So it was a medical mission trip. Okay, I saw some other hands back here. Was okay. So another health ministry type deal. Okay. Wow. So a major evangelism blanket of meetings. Okay. Pathway, another health. So we have a lot of folks that have been involved in health evangelism and health ministry. That's good because one of the components of Quiet Hour Ministry is doing just that. Now, we don't get deep. We're not going to be doing surgery. Sorry. But our focus, what we like to do is this is more of connecting. This is going to be your health fair style thing, like what you would do in your church, in your community, to build relationships with the people there so that you can invite them to the meetings, okay? And we're going to provide some tangible things. We're going to be giving eyeglasses away to the people. And I'll tell you, in these countries, these people go nuts over these eyeglasses because this is something that is not easily attainable. We can go to the dollar store and buy reading glasses for a couple dollars and they'll suffice. There in these countries, they're just not that affordable nor that available. So this is a really great effort. And we're going to be in some pretty poor areas serving. So you'll see. I don't want to get ahead of myself in this, but we'll be referencing this card. So those who are just trickling in, come on in and join us and grab one of these cards. Pastor Wes has, as we're talking about it. Now, I have several pictures in this slideshow. Most of my slides are just pictures. As a matter of fact, 99% of them are pictures because I want to show you the areas and talk to you about what's happening there. And I'm going to open the floor for some dialogue toward the end so you can ask me specific questions. And I'm going to give you details and elaborate a little more on what you see here. So the mission trip is going to be held in Waquillas. That's the way they pronounce it. Waquillas. The double L is a Y sound. Ecuador. This is on the very southern border of Ecuador, northern border of Peru. Now, I flew in to the city where there are two mission conferences there in Ecuador. You have a northern and a southern. This is the southern conference. And so I flew into the city where the conference is located, and that is Guayaquil, Ecuador. This is the airport. It's a nice airport. Matter of fact, when I got off the airplane, I looked and I was like, well, am I in Miami or... You know, because it looked just as pretty as an airport that we're accustomed to. Now, understand this is the first time I've been to Ecuador, so I didn't know really what to expect. I know what Cuba looks like. And Cuba is very, as my buddy likes to put it, utilitarian. Nothing has design quality or aesthetics. It's just if it works, we'll go with it. And so in the airports there, it's like whatever city you fly in, all the airports are like this cookie cutter design. But here in Ecuador, you'll see that they have some of the more modern conveniences and things that we're accustomed to. So the airport was very nice. I stayed the night. I got in kind of late. I stayed the night, and the next morning I was met by the conference, Wes Peppers there, the evangelism coordinator. Well, he's not the ministerial director, but he is the evangelism coordinator. It's this gentleman here. I'm sorry, I don't have a pointer or a clicker, but it's this gentleman right there to my left. Named Pablo Valverde, and he's going to be our liaison between the conference and us while we're there. The reason for this is because the conference office is located about 5.5 hours drive north of where we're going to be working. So it's in the southern central part of the country, and we're going to be all the way down. So we probably won't ever see this, okay, while we're there. We may fly into that airport. Right now, that's sort of up in the air. I flew into that airport because I wanted to be greeted by the conference workers. I wanted to see them, meet them. I wanted to find out, because one thing about doing mission trips is you want to make sure that the people you're going to serve are bought in to you coming. Amen? That they're supportive of what you are doing. And I will tell you, this group of people, these are all workers, and some of them are like secretaries, and a few of them were children of the people that work there. But these people were extremely bought into the idea and very excited about us coming. And they have a lot of great ideas. the church in the area where we are going is a fairly young church. And I mean that in both the senses. A lot of the members are young people, millennial age and younger, and the churches themselves have only been recently established in that area. In the area where we will be, in Waquias, there are 11 Seventh-day Adventist churches. How many pastors do you think the 11 churches have? One. That's exactly right. So we're going to only be working with one pastor, which I'll tell you, in this sense, going on a mission trip with Quiet Hour, because of the way we function and what our mission philosophy is, only having one pastor to deal with is actually kind of nice. It's kind of exciting because sometimes you can butt heads with personalities and the pastor thinks this is what's going to happen, and we come and we say, no, we want to work with you and we're here to serve. However, we do have an agenda, amen, and we have to stick to our agenda. I'll tell you a quick story on this last mission trip, and Pastor Darrell, he can chime in a little bit here and there because we were on this trip together. But our last mission trip that we did together to Ogin, Cuba, we had a lady who was very well-intended, a very nice lady, but she came with her own mission trip in mind, apart from what we were doing at the Quiet Hour. That's right. She came on the trip. She was part of our team, and she had her own mission trip in mind. And what that was, and she said, you know, Lord's laid it on my heart. I bring prescription glasses, bifocals and distance glasses for nearsightedness and all that. And we do not have the equipment. The Quiet Hour does not have the equipment to test people properly to fit people with glasses like that. And so I said, I'm sorry, we cannot give those glasses out, because we do not have the ability, the equipment, or whatever to do that. And she said, well, I want to give them out. I said, well, you can set up a table, and if people want to come there and see you and they feel okay taking the glasses, but that cannot be part of the Quiet Hour stuff. And she was going back and forth and trying to fight and, you know, back and forth. So I give you that story to say you may have a very strong intention that you think that God is leading you to do, and it may be a good intention, and God bless your heart for that. But we do have a specific agenda and a specific mission for why we go. And we make that very clear to the conference that we're working with, and we agree upon certain things before we arrive. And so we just don't want to come there with something off in left field, and then it's like everybody's saying, what's going on? We want to work together, and I believe that God blesses a team that's unified. Amen? And so I just want to encourage us to be unified when we go into, as I tell you the various aspects and details, that we just stick to that plan. Also, before the mission trip happens, there will be a conference call scheduled for all the people that have signed up, and that information will be emailed to you if you have signed up, and you'll be able to dial in on that and ask last-minute questions, and I will be giving a final orientation of things to the actual team members. I won't get that deep today, but just letting you know that that'll happen. So like I said, where we were there in Waquias is right on the border of Ecuador and Peru. Here I'm in Peru. I actually walked from the hotel I stayed in and walked over to Peru and came back again. And it's unusual to just walk across an international border and nobody even looks at you twice. And I did kind of stick out like a sore thumb there amongst the people. But here I am with Pablo, and he wanted to go into Peru because in Ecuador, the currency, does anybody know the currency in Ecuador? It's the US dollar, amen? So that makes things so easy because you don't have to transfer money when you get there. The U.S. dollar is their national currency. That is what they use. Now, over in Peru, right across the border, their currency is called the sol. That's the word for sun in Spanish, S-O-L, sol. And so three soles, or three suns, to $1 over there. And so things are a lot cheaper in Peru. And so a lot of times these folks that live close to the border, they will walk across, go and get a whole bunch of things. That's what you see, all these carts loaded up. They go over in the morning and they buy all this stuff up in Peru, and then they take it across the border, and then they sell it at a premium to the people because they can, and they can make money that way. So in this area, there's like this big walking street where they have shops set up, and you kind of feel like you're in New York City or, you know, someplace. What'd you say? Yeah, like Mexico, walking down those avenues where they have all these shops. And they have some decent quality stuff, but the thing is, when you look at the income rate of most of the people and compare it to the prices that they're asking, like a pair of Nike shoes I saw in one of the windows was like $100 that we could probably get here for $30. And I was just thinking, oh my, how do these people do it? You know? So, and we'll talk more about that later, but we walked across over there. Pablo, he used to be the pastor for these 11 churches down here. He's only recently taken this position as the evangelism coordinator. And so he wanted to walk across and buy grapes because he can get an 11-pound crate of fresh grapes that have just been there in Peru. Now, how much money would it cost us here in the U.S. to buy 11 pounds of grapes? $40. I was thinking probably about $40. $4 or $5, I think he got this huge crate. This is the central church. Like I said, at this point, we have 5 churches nailed down, and it's going to depend upon the size of our group. I would like to see us get between 40 and 50 people in our team, okay? Right now, we have 5 churches. If we get 40 to 50 people, we're going to add a few more churches to work with out of this 11 churches, because we don't need 12 people working or 10 people in each church, all right? We might start tripping over each other. But if we can have 40 or 50 people, what will be amazing about that is not so much for the evening meetings when we're preaching and doing the VBS program and all of that, but it'll be nice for the daytime while we are going with the pastors, the elders of the churches to do visitation maybe. We'll have more people to do that with, number one. Number two, another thing we'll be able to do that will be great is divide up and maybe do more than one health clinic a day in more than one location. So I'm just thinking the bigger the group, the more we can accomplish, okay? So this is the Central Church, and that's exactly what they call it, Central Church in Ecuador. Now, I took a picture, and they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, but it's only the words you capture within the borders of the picture, right? Because this is actually a very poor area around, and a lot of the houses are dilapidated and old. But the church, this is one that is fairly new. It is, my understanding, a Maranatha structure. And so it's a very nice church. You'll notice over there facing it to the right, you see that rebar sticking up? Here's a picture where you can see more. At this point, they are attempting to build another meeting center up here on this second story. Beneath that, you have several Sabbath school classrooms and children division classrooms. Everything is cement. It's very basic, but they're wanting to put up a thing here, and he said sort of like a banquet room so that they can have fellowship meals, or they can do, when kids graduate from school, they can do like awards ceremonies. They can host conference officials and that sort of thing. here's what the inside of the church looks like, and this is a very typical Latin American, Caribbean style look to the inside of a church. And this one is air-conditioned. Amen? Now, you might look and say, oh, but Pastor, we're going in December 12th through 23rd. Well, this is south of the equator, and so it will be the dead of summer when we go. This is the hottest time of the year. So when you go, the best time to go to Ecuador is right now. Now it's cool, now it's kind of, you go in December and it's hot. So I'm just warning you, when you think about what you're going to pack to wear, you want clothes that you can tolerate being in the brazen heat, okay? Amen. Amen. Yeah, it'll be a nice break. It'll be a nice break, but it's going to be a shock to your system when you come back and land in, 6 inches of snow or whatever it is. Here is another one of the churches, and at this point in my head, I can't remember all the names of the churches. We've got the New Jerusalem Church, the South Church, the North Church, the Central Church. We have one, I can't think of the name of it, but I'm going to show you all the churches that I visited. You'll see this one's a little more ramshackle, a little poorer. But what's interesting is the individuals that are worshiping here, you would think that they just had everything. Just their attitudes, the positive way that they approach things. They're not stuck on material things. Amen? And so they are proud of their churches. They take care of their churches. What they have, they take care of. Amen? And they're very excited. There is one church that currently has a dirt floor, and that's probably going to be our construction project. And I'll get into that a little bit toward the end. This one is, I believe, the South Church, if I remember correctly. Has a little courtyard around it, an area in the back for children. Now, some of the children's areas, how many of you like to do VBS and kids ministry and those things? Only three people. Wow, that's a little scandalous. So. So, and I'm going to break down what the day in the life is going to look like when we get through all the pictures. But a lot of these VBS areas will be basically a tin roof over top, and that's about it. Maybe a cement wall with a tin roof coming off, and you're pretty well outside in the elements, okay? My hope is that every single area will have a fan. We will be providing felt boards and felts and things, and there will be crafts for every night, and you'll have a program laid out. The beauty about going on a Quiet Hour mission trip, especially if you've not been on an evangelistically charged mission trip, you know, Maranatha does a wonderful ministry, but their focus, of course, is building and setting up the churches and all that. Quiet Hour is totally the opposite. We do a small construction project. We want it to be something fairly significant, that when we leave, it's truly helped the people, that we've done a good job, that it's quality. You know, I've heard horror stories where people come in and, oh yeah, we're going to help you and do this construction. We're going to build this thing for you. And the craftsmanship is so poor and done so shoddy that after the group left, they've had to basically tear it three quarters of the way down and rebuild it. We don't want to do anything like that. Amen? We want to leave and the people say, wow, these individuals, these missionaries, these representatives of Jesus from the Michigan Conference came down here and did something that has blessed us and is going to last and help us be more effective in ministry. Amen? Because that's really what we're doing. We're partnering with these churches to make their churches more effective to do ministry in their communities. And we're there to be a blessing as much as we possibly can while we're there that short time, to build relationships and to build people up in Jesus. So you'll see that that there's one church that has a dirt floor. That's likely where we're going to. I still am working out the details with Quiet Hour, but that's likely what our construction project will be, is laying floor in that church for them. That seems to be the most attainable, most affordable project, and one that we can complete in the time we're there. Very likely, yeah. But they want to put tile down as well. Cement, of course. That's right. That's exactly right. All right. This church here, this one is the New Jerusalem Church. Very basic, nice inside. It was nice and clean. I don't think this is the New Jerusalem. Somehow I think my pictures got messed up a little bit. But again, very basic. You see plastic chairs. Be real careful when you sit in those. I had a real bad experience my first time in Cuba. I was sitting at the conference office having lunch. You know, in Cuba especially, like, they really don't have access to resources. Okay, it's very locked down. And I'm sitting there, and my first trip to Cuba was before things lightened up. You know, I still had to take a charter flight and go through all this stuff. It wasn't like on a regular thing. And I'm sitting down to have lunch, and I sit down in one of these chairs. And all of a sudden, I just feel myself shifting a little bit to the right. And before I know, that chair just shattered like glass out from under me. I mean, it was as if it disintegrated into nothingness. And I landed in the middle of the floor. And I was just like, well, Lord, maybe I needed some humbling experience today. I don't know. But of course, you know, the conference president's wife jumps up and makes a mad dash over. Are you okay, Pastor? Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. Just go on. Go. And in my mind, I'm just thinking, I just destroyed one of their chairs, you know, and how are they going to get this chair back? It didn't hurt me at all, praise God. But how's that? No, thankfully, that was on the table. Yeah, thankfully, it didn't land all over me. So just be cautious. You know, I might have a little more girth than some of you, but those chairs can be kind of flimsy. Again, one of the churches we'll be working in. You can see they've got a nice platform. This is a Maranatha church. You can kind of tell by the structure and all of that, for those of you who have been with Maranatha. This was one of the nicer, prettier churches, but one of the smaller ones. This is one. Now, these are pictures that the pastor gave me. I wasn't there for worship because I came in on a Sunday night and left on Thursday. So I wasn't there for a Sabbath, unfortunately. Just to give you an idea, this is actually one of the elementary schools attached to the church, and they're very proud of that. This particular property has a lot, like an expansive area, and quite a bit of land that somebody had owned, and there were some donations and things that happened. And so they have an elementary school, and behind it, they're actually working on building and refurbishing another building back there so that they can start an academy. And then across the yard, they've got this big expansive space, and the pastor of the area, he said, we have a vision that in the next few years, we want to start building on this side and we want to have a college. So they're serious. You know, like they have a vision for wanting to advance the church there in Ecuador. Here's the children's division. This is not prison. This is actually one of the Sabbath school classes. You know, it's kind of funny looking at it. It's like you got your kids in a cage there. Maybe some of them belong there, right? But no, this is you'll see it says children's class here, clase de infantes. And so it's the children's class. Again, you can just kind of see the rustic kind of utilitarian look to things. But it stands up against the weather. It keeps the kids out of the elements. You know, it never gets super cold there in Ecuador. It gets cool, but never super cold. For them, probably 50 degrees Fahrenheit would be really cold, I would imagine. Again, here's another area, a meeting area where, you know, they have Sabbath school just right under there. And that's kind of what I was talking about. You'll see some of these areas where it's just like a block wall or a cement wall, and then you've got just a tin roof coming over. Here is that area that they're refurbishing to start the academy, behind what I had showed you before. This is back to the central church. You can see they don't have doors and windows yet. Remember that area that I showed you all the rebar on the top? This is what's right below that rebar area. So this is sort of a new addition altogether to the church. They're trying to put restrooms back in there. It was pretty dark that night. There were light switches and we were hitting them. Lights weren't coming on, so I don't know. And they acted like they were confused as to why the lights weren't coming on. But anyway, this is, you can just tell it's new. It's something that's nice that they have there. Another courtyard to one of the churches that I've shown you already. Here we are standing in Peru, getting ready to go back to Ecuador. The first one I showed you was us in Ecuador, getting ready to go into Peru. This one's coming back out of there. And I don't think we have sound, but here's a little video that I shot just to kind of show you. We know that Ecuador borders with Colombia to the north, Peru to the south. In this part of the world, there are concerns with violence. This particular area seems fairly laid back and fairly calm. But you don't want to go off by yourself into these crowds because you're going to be seen as somebody who doesn't belong there, and they're going to know that. And so I don't see anybody getting assaulted or anything like that, but the pickpocketing and the petty little things like that. And we just don't want that to be our experience on a mission trip. Amen. We want to avoid that at all costs. So I've just walked into Peru, and here's me walking back into Ecuador just to show you that there was no control. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole video. Here's where Pablo bought his big crate. Those are grapes. And what he's doing is he's reaching in to pick one out to test it to see if it's good. And so he reaches in and picks it off, and he's peeling it and eating. He takes one out and offers to me. I said, yeah, no, thank you. I would want to... He peeled the grape right there. Yep, and ate it. Well, I wouldn't eat the outside until that's been washed thoroughly. That's coming straight off the farm. You know, that's coming right from whatever, and you don't know what's been splashed all over that. So yeah, you don't eat anything with the peel on it. Okay, and I'm going to talk more about those details as we get to the end too. I'm getting close to the end of the slides. This is the hotel where I've made the arrangements for our group. So it's not too bad. It means Son of the South. Okay, not sun as in S-O-N, but S-U-N, the sun. And there's a little restaurant below. That's where we will have breakfast. Will be served every day for us there. The food is going to be your basic breakfast fare, okay? I like to give this preface. I understand that we as Adventists have a scope or a spectrum of how our diet works as Adventists. Amen? You have the omnivorous Adventist, and then you have the pescatarian type Adventist, and then you have the lacto-ovo, and then just the maybe just lacto or something, and then you have vegan, right? What I like to tell people is, quiet hour will make sure that you are provided with meatless dishes the whole time that you're on the mission trip, okay? However, I cannot promise, and it's highly unlikely that any meal will be 100% vegan. Okay? Doesn't mean that you won't find things that don't have dairy in them or whatever. I'm just saying there's not going to be a meal prepared where everything at the spread is going to be vegan. That's just, it's just not attainable in these countries. So Quiet Hour will be paying for the meals, but the meals will be a base of lacto-ovo-vegetarian, which is what the World Church promotes, okay? And so we are going to, that's what will be provided and offered to you. So what I tell folks is if you have a real stringent dietary need or a concern, please pack things that can help sustain you. You know, maybe you can eat a little of this that's being provided, but you need a little something else. Have some granola bars or have something that you can take that's not perishable. I always, I've learned from my first trip in Cuba. My first trip, I didn't pack any food. And I did pretty well in Cuba. But by the end of it, I was like, oh, Lord, I can't wait for the plane to land in Florida. I'm ready for some real food again. Okay? So I've learned from that experience that I always pack things that I know I can subsist on for multiple days. And one of my staples is a big jar of peanut butter and a couple boxes of Ritz crackers. Because if I have that, I can survive. Okay? That's just me. But you can't take fresh fruit. Yeah, you can't take fresh fruit. So that's the thing. You have to take something that's prepared, and it has to be non-perishable. Okay? So just think through that as you're thinking. Have some food in your carry-on or whatever you can stand. But that is something I always do. Yeah, and of course, you will have plenty of bottled water provided to you. Don't ever, ever, ever drink the water in Ecuador at any place. I don't care if they come and say, yes, this water nice is safe for foreigners. No, it isn't. Okay? The way that their infrastructure is and how they sanitize their water is not the way we do it. Their water looks clean, it smells clean, it's nice, it's great for a shower. But there are microorganisms in that water that we are not accustomed to ingesting. And I'm telling you, you will pay for it because I did on this pre-trip. The food will be prepared with that understanding. The water will have been sanitized, boiled down, whatever, if they use... Yeah, they will be very careful. Eating the food prepared for you will be okay. Don't go out to a street vendor. You know, I had this, you know, I had walking through that area there going into Peru and coming back, I had multiple street vendors. Oh, you know, young man, come here. You want to taste this? You want to eat this? It's great. And I said, oh, I'm sure it's wonderful, but my stomach wouldn't think so. And I just kept on walking. Just be real careful. Now they... I mean, I'm just warning you, I'm not going to endorse any food on the street just because I don't want you to say, well, Pastor, you said it was okay, and then you got sick. I'm just saying the first day I was there, the conference executive secretary and Pablo, the evangelism coordinator, said to me, hey, are you hungry? Would you like to go to lunch? I said, sure. They took me to this beautiful buffet restaurant, very nice restaurant, very clean, very elegant. Food was beautifully prepared and laid out. And I ate the food and I felt okay. Well, I wasn't thinking. And along comes the waiter and he's got this big pitcher full of lemonade and ice in it. And I just, you know, I'm just in my element. I just got there. I'm happy to be with them. Like, yeah, this is great. And I'm eating the food and it's delicious. And I pour myself a big glass of that and I swig it down, two glasses. The next day, I prayed that God would let me die. I mean, it was rough. So I just don't want you to have that experience. Let my stupidity be a learning tool for you. I knew better. I knew better, and I did what I shouldn't have done. So this is our hotel.
You're supposed to preach. We want you well enough to preach.
Amen. Yeah. You're not going to be any good if you're a preacher in the bathroom every 5 minutes. Okay? All right, moving along. I want to show you some of the pictures of the inside of the hotel. The hotel is going to be like... It's not a Hilton. It's not Hampton. It's none of those. It's going to be more like Super 8 or Days Inn, but very clean. Very clean, okay? Mismatch, you can see that. That's every Latin country I've ever been in. It's just like that. But all the rooms have AC. Let me hear you say amen. We're Michiganders, okay? AC. All of them have a mini refrigerator that you can keep things in, praise the Lord, right? So if you buy some bottled water, bottled drinks, or whatever, anything that's in a bottle that you crack the lid open will be okay for you to consume, Okay? Any food that is prepared food that's in a, you know, like I know as Adventists, don't eat anything from a box or a package. Well, in Ecuador, you want to eat from a box and a package because you know that it's been handled okay and you can eat it. Okay? So if you get things and you want to keep them in a refrigerator, you can. Fresh fruit is dangerous because you don't know what's on the outside of the fruit. The bananas, I did eat a few bananas there. Why? Because you can do this and peel it. Don't let the peel touch the banana. And you can eat the banana. And they are delicious and huge bananas. Very good bananas. So that's okay. But I would not take those grapes and just be popping them, eating them. You're going to pay for that if you do. Bathroom was very clean and has all of the standard American amenities.
Can you flush everything?
That's the bathroom in the hotel. Yeah. Yeah, Hotel del Sur. It's right up there. I wasn't teasing you. So the bathroom is nice. It's very nice. The flush went the same way as the U.S. I didn't see that happen. Anyway, all of the standard amenities are there. However, how many of you like to use a washcloth when you take a shower? Well, I put that on the list because I learned that the hard way. The first time in Cuba, I got there and I had shower gel. And I'm like, now how do I use this, you know? Yeah. It doesn't quite lather. I survived it, but, you know, I like a washcloth, so I put it on this list. Bring your own washcloths. Absolutely. You can bring all that stuff. I'm just telling you, this has a hairdryer in it. It has towels that you'll dry off. You'll get daily maid service to keep your room clean and all of that. Everything will be clean and nice. But if you want a washcloth, bring it yourself. And they have toilet seats. And we say that because in Cuba, most places do not have toilet seats. This is just the street kind of looking out from the hotel area going down. If you walked out this way, you go down the street and make the right, that takes you to that area where you saw Pablo and me and we were walking. Okay? Churches were extremely excited. I got to meet with all the head elders at each one of the churches and a few of the other people working there. This gentleman here right next to me, that is the pastor that pastors all 11 churches. Okay? Super nice guy, and his name slips my mind right at this point. It's in my phone, but really nice guy, and you can see all of these people are young people. Amen? This guy maybe not super young, but the rest of them, this guy here is the head elder of the church. So just showing you that it's a young church in both the aspects. You'll see that they are very evangelistically minded. This is what was just up in their church. It's a small groups multiplying hope up there at the top. And they're all about their young people. That's what Jóvenes Adventistas, this Adventist Youth Society. And so you've got all these, and these are older people. This was the first church I visited, and they treated me kind of like the way we treat Doug Batchelor when he comes off the stage. You know, everybody wants to run up and, oh, Pastor Doug. That's kind of how it felt when I got there. And I'm a nobody, you know. And so they're really excited that we're coming. And they were very attentive that night. I talked to them a little bit about the trip and told them what was happening. And they were listening all ears. They were excited. They were, yes, we're going to help. Pastor, what can we do? So they're very excited we're coming. Amen? This is my exit. I'm back at the airport there. So we drove. I got up that Monday morning. We drove all the way down to Huaquillas. Stayed a couple nights and turned around and drove all the way back up to Guayaquil. So over 11 hours worth of driving in the car for a couple days visit. But it was worth it. You'll see the inside of the airport looks pretty nice. So to sign up, how many of you have signed up already? I know a couple of us have. Anybody else? So we've got three people in the room, including myself. To sign up, you go to qhministries.org. Let me see if I can get into my internet here and show you. I'm opening up every app. So the dates, take a look at your card. Everybody has the card? At the bottom of your card, the dates are December 12th. That is a Wednesday. December 12th through the 23rd. That is a Sunday. That's the Sunday before Christmas Eve. Okay? I will be down there the Sunday before December 12th, so that would be the 9th of December, I think, if I've got my mind right. I'll be down there a few days early because I will be making the final preparations for our group to arrive. As I said before, I flew into Guayaquil, which is where the conference office is, but I am in negotiation right now with the travel agent that works with Quiet Hour Ministry because I'm not sure that that's our best bet logistically nor fiscally, because when we get there as a group, we're going to be flying in, we get there, I don't know what time that flight will land, and then we have to board a huge bus that we have to rent from someplace and get us all the way down there, and then we got to do that all over again at the end, and that's exhausting. So my goal, and what I think would be best, is to have us fly into Tumbes, Peru, which is about 25 miles away from Huaquillas. So let me just show you this real quick. Pastor Bentley got this pulled up for me. You go to qhministries.org, okay, and that will bring you to the home page. If you see down here just below the front page here, you see this sign, this part that says upcoming mission trips. Just roll down there. You can click here, more upcoming mission trips. This is just the most direct way to get to it. It's going to bring you to this next page where it gives you the whole list for 2018, okay, and 2019. They've got 2019. Scroll all the way down and you'll see Ecuador and December. Click register now. And we'll know you got the right place if you see my picture in there, okay? So that's how you know. You can't mistake it because I'm listed there and there's a little bio about me in there. But it shows you up there, and then you'll notice that this link that we have given you on the back, if you type this link in exactly as it's given, it'll bring you directly here, and then you don't have to go through any steps, okay? Yes, ma'am. No, there were no required vaccinations.
As of now.
As of this moment.
Those things can change, but they check with CDC and those
right.
things as we get closer.
Detroit. Detroit. It'll be Florida, and then from Florida to Ecuador. Because what's going to happen is right now we have a few handful of people that have signed up for this trip that are not in the Michigan Conference. So when you ask the question, is it okay?
Right.
It is. Quiet Hour keeps the trips open to anyone. When an entity, a conference, a school, somebody wants to coordinate a mission trip through the Quiet Hour, what they will do is they'll say, okay, get us at least 20 team members signed up, and then we'll lock it down just for your entity. And the reason for that is because historically, we have had places say, Fresno Adventist Academy was one. They were going to do this trip. Said, lock that trip down, let it be our trip. So they did that, and then Fresno backed out and said, we can't go. So then they were scrambling. It was supposed to be in March of this year. So now they're scrambling, like, what are we going to do? West came along and called them and said, hey, we want to do a mission trip. And they said, well, would you like to go to Ecuador? And they moved it down to December, and the conference was willing to work. Not every conference can be that flexible. Amen? So we want to make sure when we tell somebody we've got a trip and we're planning it and coordinating it, that we can make the trip happen. Okay? The 1950, okay. The 1950 is all-inclusive. But the 1950 it's going to depend. We have to wait and see what comes back from the travel agent so that we know, because not everybody's going to be able to fly out of Detroit. I'm telling you, you want to sign up for Detroit. The 1950 should bring us out of Detroit, okay? And that's what I'm hoping for, but I'm waiting to get that final word from Quiet Hour. It could be one of the trips I took before, I flew from Detroit and I let them book it for me, and so it increased my rate by about $150 or $200 for them to book it for me. Otherwise, what Quiet Hour has done is they've said the 1950 gets you out of Fort Lauderdale, or the 1950 gets you out of, you know, they might have three different airports that they could get you out of at that price. I'm hoping that because this is a Michigan Conference trip, you know, and they told us 1950, that I'm hoping that that means that that's out of Detroit for us. And I'm still waiting to get that detail locked down. But I believe so, but I can't give you 100% guarantee. At the end, Tumbes, Peru, T-U-M-B-E-S, Peru. And like I said, that's just across the border. The thing is, of course, we have to go through customs twice. But my experience with customs in Ecuador was superbly simple.
And that would be easier than a 10-hour, 11-hours worth of bus ride.
Yeah. That's right. We don't have that because it's still a little far out. Yeah, it's still 6 months out. I saw a hand over here. If children are coming, just understand that their price is the same. It's the same across the board. And we ask that if children are coming, they are able to participate. So, because, and have an adult. Well, and that sort of depends. I mean, the thing is, if there's a 13-year-old that's mature and level-headed and can work and whatnot, send them. You know, they don't necessarily have to have an adult with them because they're going to be with a group of adults, but they need to be able to. I can't babysit. You see, it's not a babysitting thing. And I saw this gentleman's hand here in the back. That's all covered in whatever. This, and so when I say all-inclusive here, the only thing that could adjust on that is airfare, depending on where we fly out of and into from home. This is going to include any, there's no visa, praise God, you don't need a visa, but this will include if there's a tax going in or out, that's all covered in this fee. Your meals are all covered in this fee. Your hotel lodging is all covered in this fee. All your transportation there in the country is all covered in this fee. The only money that you're going to want to have in your pocket is going to be what you might want to do on your own. Okay, so like the day that we take an excursion, there will be an excursion done on Thursday of the week while we're there because you've been working all this time. You've been there. You need a break. Amen? So we're not there to go on vacation, but we do need a day off. There's nothing wrong with having a day off. And it's not a full day off. It's only the half day. We get up in the morning. We have breakfast. We load up on a bus, and we're either going to go to a beach area where there will be, you know, an option for you to walk around and see shops or swim in the beach or snorkel or something. And we'll stay there until about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and we'll come back and prepare for the evening meetings because the evening meetings go on. We don't stop those, okay? The main initiative, the main focus of the mission trip is evangelism, amen, is preaching the Word of God to the people. And so we don't take a break from that. We'll take a break from the health clinic and from the construction site and all that to go and do a thing, but we will not take a break in the evening. Yes, sir. That's the day. That is the day you're going to arrive, hopefully. Here's what happened when I went on my pre-trip. I left on a Sunday evening from Detroit. I live in the Detroit area, so I flew out around 7 or so that evening. I landed in Florida, and I was in Florida for an hour or so, and then I flew. No, that's not true. That's not true. I went to Atlanta. That's right. I stayed the night in Atlanta, and I got up Monday morning, and I flew to Florida, stayed in Florida an hour or two, and then I flew the rest of the way. So I was there the next day in the evening, late. And so that's how it worked for me. I'm hoping that, but I booked that on my own and got reimbursed through Quiet Hour. I'm hoping that when we go as a group, that the Butler travel guy that does all this, that he's going to be able to work us out something a little more direct and a little quicker. And he's super good at it, and he gets the missionary rates and all that for us.
Is there a language barrier?
It's all Spanish. It's all Spanish. How many speak Spanish? Anybody?
Un poquito.
Así, así. Okay. So it is all Spanish. However, I have talked to the conference and arranging to have at least two translators per site, one for the main area and one for the children's area. Okay, you'll get by fine, I promise. Most of our people do not speak Spanish that go on these trips, and it still flows. But it is, if you want to speak, it's not a bad idea to learn a few phrases.
You'll know more when you leave.
Sure.
Right.
Body language is good communication. Okay, here we are. Real quick, here's the team member portal. So this has finally let us in. So you scroll down and you'll see the information. Join the Quiet Hour Ministries team. It gives you some information about the country, et cetera, et cetera. Here's what we do. Mission trip components, evangelism, children's ministry, church maintenance, renovation, repair, reading glasses, testing, dispensing, and health clinics. And you see the little asterisk. It says medical and dental clinics are held only when qualified personnel join the team.
So are you a surgeon? You said you do surgery.
Okay. So let me say this. it's rare, it's more rare that we do these hardcore health clinics. We're not planning for a clinic like that in Ecuador. At this point, we're just planning to do the eyeglasses, to screen blood pressures, to take glucose tests and those types of things, and to just discuss the benefits of healthy living with the people. That's the goal that we're there to do. At night, I want to give you the quick day in the life of what it's going to look like. The day you arrive, let's just say it's Wednesday for this, for all intents and purposes. You arrive Wednesday, that's going to be your night to get settled, get your jet lag off, and say, I'm out of that airplane, I want to rest. Thursday will be our orientation day. So Thursday morning, we will get up and we will meet and have breakfast together down in the restaurant of the hotel. After breakfast, we will have worship together. And immediately following worship, we will have orientation. During the orientation, we're going to go through and talk about day in the life. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what our schedule. And I will have printouts for you so you'll get an idea. But let me preface that with this. We're in the mission field. Amen? Things don't always go according to what's written on paper. Amen? And so I might have on the paper lunchtime is scheduled for 1 p.m. or 12:30 p.m. But we may not eat until 1:30 or 2, depending upon what the need is at the clinic that day or at the construction site that day. So here's what I tell folks. Please, if you have a dietary restraint, like you're diabetic and you have to eat at certain times of the day, I understand that. I respect that. Please pack snacks. Please pack something that can tide you over until we're sitting down for the meal. Because I cannot promise you we're dealing with multiple modes of transportation because you have people coming from different areas. So in the morning, we're going to have breakfast all together. That'll be easy. But then we disperse out, okay? And it's getting all that logistics back, and it's not always easy to control all of that and to say, right on the dot, we're going to do this, and right on the dot, we're going to do that. Amen? We're in the mission field, so go in it with a mission's heart, a missionary's heart. When you sign up with Quiet Hour, they ask that you make a $300 deposit toward your trip. All money that goes to the Quiet Hour is a non-refundable charitable contribution. Let me hear you say that back to me. All money that goes to the Quiet Hour is non-refundable charitable contribution. So in other words, what you are doing to go on this mission trip is you are raising money for the ministry of Quiet Hour. Understand? Your $19.50 does not cover all of your costs. Quiet Hour relies heavily upon donors that constantly give to make all of this possible. So why I say that is, you might give $1,000 and then say, ooh, something's come up and I can't go on the trip. Just say a prayer and say, Lord, thank you for allowing me to benefit the ministry at Quiet Hour. Because you cannot get the money back because you get receipted almost immediately, a tax deductible receipt. And in order to maintain that integrity, that donor integrity, they cannot refund money for people that back out of the trip because you're not technically paying for your trip. Does that make sense? You're donating to the Quiet Hour, and in return, you get to participate in the mission trip. Amen?
Amen.
So I just make sure that you understand that. When you sign up, here's the beautiful thing about Quiet Hour. I know the website needs a little help, and they realize that, and they're working towards that. But when you sign up, it's easy to sign up. You're going to sign up and you're going to give your preferences. Let me just, well, this took a long time, didn't it, to load? You see down here where it says register now? That's where you're going to want to click. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to wait a long time. We're running out of time. But you want to click there. It's going to take you to the next page where you can sign up, okay? And you can fill in all of your information. It's going to ask you, what are your preferences? You want to be a main speaker? You want to be a children's person? You want to do this? The thing is, Quiet Hour wants it to be something that you feel is within your armor, okay? But don't be afraid to try on new armor if you need to. If you can read and you are literate, you can preach these meetings. Everything will be in a PowerPoint presentation. You will need to bring your own computer if you're a speaker. But everything will be in a PowerPoint presentation and all the notes are written in there for you and you'll have a translator. Amen? So you're going to be preaching in English and giving it your all and all this, and then you have a translator that's going to capture that message and relay it to the people. But there's power in preaching that way. There really is power in it. And people make decisions for Jesus, and you're going to be amazed when you see that. So if you're willing to do that, all you have to do is read. Children's ministry, you just have to be able to be somewhat organized and be able to keep a group focused and keep things moving, but that's really all you need. Everything else is provided for you. Amen? So Quiet Hour tries to make it as attainable and easy as possible for you to do it. So you'll sign up there. The next step after you've signed up, you want to make sure you tell them your passport information as soon as you sign up. It's just better that way. Then they get everything right on the front end. Once you sign up, it will take you to the next step to set up a fundraiser page. You can actually upload a picture of your face if it's working. I had some issues with it, but maybe Quiet Hour can help you. If you have problems, you can call them. But you can upload a picture of your face. You can write your own little bio. You can say why you're excited to go on the trip. And you can make an appeal to people that visit your page. And you will have your own personalized page. You can create a friendly URL, like with your first initial and last name or something afterward. And you can give that link to people. And when they go to that link, it takes them right to your fundraising page. And then there's a button at the bottom of every fundraising page that says, make a gift. Why does my computer feel weird? Because I'm looking at it backwards. Okay. Make a gift. So they'll click there and they can make it anonymously or they can make it and have their name out there. Quiet Hour will immediately send a receipt to them. They'll put it in the mail and they'll have a tax deductible receipt that comes to them. We all have people that love us. Amen. I want to tell you the finances should not get in the way of you. That should be the last thing that you think about. The timing and the logistics, those things are more of a concern to me than the funding. God has the money. Amen? All He's asking you to have is the willing heart and be willing to sacrifice that time and the effort and the energy to do it. So the people can make a gift. As they make gifts, it immediately will refresh your page, will immediately reflect that. You can go on, it's got a little thermometer so that when you get to the top, yay. And people can even give over. They can give over what your goal is. So if you set your goal at 1950, which is what you should do, they can give above that. Okay? Now, if somebody's flying out of a different airport and Quiet Hour says, yeah, we can book that for you, but it's going to be a $200 premium on top of that, you can include that in your fundraising page. Okay? You can include it there. And so I'm just saying, the $300 Quiet Hour likes for you to give that right up front because they want to see you have a serious buy-in. But some people say, you know, I can't quite do $300. Well, if you can do $150, put something there just to show them that I'm serious and I'm committing to this, okay? And then whittle at it little by little. Each time you get paid, put something in. Or every week, put something in. Skip going out to eat one time and put that in. You know, and it will add up fast. And let the people who love you know about this. Say, I want to go and I want to be a representative of Jesus in Ecuador. And people will cover you. People will take care of you. God will provide the funds. All right, at this point, I've kind of given all of the details that I can think of, but if you have questions for me, let's spend the next few minutes answering questions. No, I never experienced that there. Chiggers, you know, those bugs in the grass that come up. Okay. This was a good question. I want to make sure everybody hears the questions. She just said, it says that speakers need to have their own computers, but she thought she read that they need to have their own projector. Most of these churches have a projector. I think we're going to need to take like two or three at this point. I will, when we get down to the point where we're having the pre-trip phone call, I will have all of the details locked down at that point. And at that point in time, those who are team members will know exactly what they need to bring. And I'll make sure that that's very clear. At this point, we're 6 months out, so we're still working through it. I've just been on the pre-trip a month ago, so I'm still working through details with them. But Ecuador is not like Cuba. Cuba had to bring everything. But in Ecuador, they have some of those things. Other questions? Yes, sir. You do not have to have any kind of shot record or anything like that. At this point, there's no recommendation from the CDC for any special thing. And let me tell you this, yeah, but in Latin America, South America, you're mostly safe, okay, without that. What I will say is bring bug repellent and don't be afraid to use bug repellent so that you're not getting bitten by mosquitoes and those types of things. It's just better. We don't want a bunch of mosquito bites, whether there's a risk or not, amen? So just bring your DEET or whatever that stuff is and spray yourself down Especially if we're going to be doing like the day of the excursion, bring sunscreen, bring your DEET, bring all that kind of stuff. Other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Is there any facilities
for laundry that have access to? I believe that there probably are. In the area, they're either at the hotel or around the hotel, because I'm sure there's a laundromat that you could use. The quality I couldn't promise you on. You know, when I went to Cuba, I had a joke. There's an old Johnny Cash song where he wakes up and he says, I reached over and I grabbed my cleanest dirty shirt. Well, by the end of every trip in Cuba, I'm wearing my cleanest dirty shirt because I don't have a way to wash it. So I just pack enough that I know I can tolerate it and wear an undershirt and all that. Yeah, so... Any other questions?
How about distributing clothes?
Yes, thank you for asking that. Every time you go into a country like this, the people, obviously, there's so much more need than what we can supply. Amen? There's only going to be a handful of us compared to the population. However, whatever we do makes an impact. So when I talked to this conference, the leadership, they said that the things that would be most beneficial to helping us in our mission and building relationships and bridges with the people is if we bring like toys for children that we can give away during VBS and during a health fair and stuff that are around the size of a Hot Wheels car, yo-yo, that kind of thing. You know, I'm male, so I think in boy toys, but you know, things that size. So if you think of something for a girl that's about that size, we don't want big dolls and stuff like that because you can't pack a lot of that stuff. But say again, that's wonderful. And the kids would love that. So I'm just saying little things like that, that you can pack multiples of, that's great. The other thing is clothing, underwear, new socks, new outer clothing, lightly used, but in still very good condition. We don't want to give them our throwaways, things with holes and rat. They can get that, right? We want to bring something to them that says you're worth something in the eyes of Jesus. And we love you because Jesus loves you. Amen. So you can bring some of your clothing that you've outgrown or it's outgrown you or you're ready to just pass it off. Take those down and make sure it's in good condition, not stains all over it and holes and all that kind of stuff. But clothing for all ages and clothing that's more for warmer climates. Okay. Shorts for men and that sort of thing. Yes. I already have a huge pile of that, so I'm not going to take any more of that because I had some for Cuba that I couldn't take the last time that got sent back. Cuba's very strict, very, very strict, so we were locked down, and I don't have time to get into that story, and this is not about Cuba. But Ecuador will use that stuff, but I want to take what they ask for. And so I will have some of those personal effect type things, but for the group, I'm saying think about taking clothing, the toys, maybe even, yeah, just little things that you can share like that with the people. Yes?
You don't know what airplane would fly then.
Airline. Yeah. What I will say is this. I always have to pay for extra luggage when I go because I always take too much. But maybe get with your church and ask your church if they would partner with you and say, hey, I'd like to do a little project here at the church and I want to take a suitcase full of whatever down. And I think it's going to cost me $80. Would the church be willing to pay it? And I guarantee your church will. My church has always done that. I saw one more hand and then we got to wrap it up. Absolutely. We're going to have more orientation and all that kind of stuff. This was just to kind of lay the groundwork. The day in the life real fast to just finish that up. We'll get up in the morning, have breakfast, have worship every morning together. We will then be dispersed out to wherever we're going for the morning, whether it's a clinic, whether it's the construction. We will meet back at the Central Church, the one with the rebar on top. They will fix our lunch there. We will then after lunch, go back to the hotel or whatever to prepare for the evening. And prior to the evening meeting, we will meet back at the Central Church, have supper, and then we'll disperse from the Central Church to go to our locations. And then at the evening, we'll gather back just before bed, maybe 10 minutes, and have a recap. As Pastor Wes said, we'll go over what took place this evening, what was blessed. As your team leader, Wes is the coordinator for Michigan, but I'm the team leader for Quiet Hour. So as your team leader, I'm going to be traveling the various sites each night. I won't stay sedentary in one place. I have a car reserved just for me and for my associate team leader, my trainee, for us to go around and visit the sites. If you're having issues with your computer, if you're having issues with a person being a bully and trying to take over your meetings, we're there to deal with that kind of stuff. Yeah, and we're happy to deal with that kind of stuff.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.